Warning, this podcast contains bad words and stories about drugs and sex and overthrowing the government. Proceed with caution. Okay. Thank you. And now on to our show. Wake up, brother, we got nothing to do. Let's go outside, just me and you, and build a fort. We'll pack a lunch, won't be home till after dark. Then after dinner we can sneak back out. You know that high school girl I've been telling you about? Well, she gets undressed about a quarter to nine, and we can watch her do it from the big old pine next door. She got a room on the second floor. Well, looks like another fucked up day in paradise.
Ahoy and welcome. Episode 023 of the Daughter of God cast. Over the next few weeks, we are on the water. Being an artist in the environs of your studio or within the frame of a flat screen is wonderful. But to be physically engaged in creation, with your very survival dependent on your next decision, whoa, that is open water sailing. In this episode, the starting days of around Lake Michigan on a $400 Hobie Cat, getting into the groove, working out the bugs, and preparing to leave familiar geography far behind. I expand my presence and am infused and blessed with the best energy available on Earth. I'll be reading blog entries from way back in September of 2009, playing snippets from the project videos, and splicing in a bit of contemporary commentary for clarification. Episode 023, Wilds. Day 1, September 6th, 2009. Underway or underway? W-A-Y or W-E-I-G-H? I better figure out which one is proper. I wouldn't want to give the impression I don't know what I'm doing. It's all about the lingo. So here we are heading north in that zigzaggy pattern sailors call tacking. I can see Point Betsy and another sailboat with a big spinnaker. I'm about to tack and head right towards the lighthouse. It's 4:57 UTC-4, or Eastern Standard Time, and it couldn't be more beautiful out here in the water wilderness. Nibbling on celery and squashed blueberries, whilst blogging and steering with my feet. This is one happy boat. The GPS on my 2G iPhone is a little confused, and the cost of repair is about the price of a new 3GS. Anyway, the fabulous charting software provided by my fabulous brother shows my position is somewhere near the south shore of Crystal Lake. My actual position is about 4 miles from Point Betsy north-northeast, or 45 degrees. I'm heading almost due north now, and will tack after this sentence, bearing east, more or less, after a jibe and a pee. I mention peeing only because my new toasty wetsuit is a bit tricky to slide out of, so it's kind of a major accomplishment. I'm in the catbird seat now. Heading is almost due east. I'll pass on by Point Betsy and claw my way right up to tonight's camp, Otter Creek, where the dang pagans will be throwing a soiree. It's 6:04 p.m. EST, or UTC-4. Hi, this is Dan. I'm in 2017 again with you. In Waterworld, starring Kevin Costner and Dennis Hopper, petroleum-powered boats are called smokers. Moon Trail.
9:50-something. If I could make this, I'd tell you. It's 9:50-something on Sunday night, and I'm gliding along. I'm gliding along the shores of Sleeping Bear National Lakeshore, somewhere beyond Indian Trail, trailhead. And there's a moon just about 30 degrees over the horizon, and there's a golden, silver-golden trail of moonlight on the water coming out to me. And I see I see the shore in silhouette, the little dunes and the dune grass. And I have a little bit of land. Oh, I'm hitting bottom right now. I got to move out a little bit deeper. I've got a little bit of breeze from the land coming off. And so I actually am making pretty good time rolling along the shore here. Just cruising along about 50 feet from shore. Maybe a little bit more. And it's magical. It's mystical. It's incredible. And I feel very lucky that this is my first day. I had to paddle for a while. I lost the wind. But now here I am in this unbelievable, mystical moment. Unspeakable, really. Gliding along like a ghost. And what's wonderful about the Sleeping Bear National Lakeshore is there's not a house light in sight. It's just me and the moon and a cell tower far off.
The slight wind continued for what seemed hours. In the dark, I passed chatty smokers anchored by what I guessed to be Platte River. Later and far ahead, a bonfire surged in brightness almost rhythmically. My destination was supposed to be a sort of benzy Burning Man near Otter Creek, and I figured that must be it. After a long approach, I was disappointed to find two idiots squirting their campfire with lighter fluid, for fun. I felt as if I was participating in a post-apocalyptic moment, and perhaps my passing sobered them. Beyond their fire-dazzled eyes, a ghost ship, near enough to touch and pale with moonlight, passes in utter silence. Urgent whispered voices. There's a sailboat there. What? There's a sailboat right there. Whoa. Maybe their little moment of squandering petroleum was trumped, their boredom pierced and shredded finally by the sublime. Hello World and I certainly felt like a manifestation of the mystery that night. After putting a good amount of distance between me and the starter fluid people, I blew off the idea of reaching Otter Creek. It was surely not far away, but it was getting late, and I was ready to stop. I hauled her up on the beach and pitched my tent on the trampoline to pacify any passing rangers. Up in the morning around 8 a.m., who happens by but Ranger Jim? I greet him, and he asks if I know it was illegal to camp. I told him I was on my way to North Manitou and that I would have anchored had I not arrived very late, that I had a composting toilet, and that the North Manitou ranger told me it was okay to pull up a boat on Sleeping Bear Dunes National Lakeshore and camp as long as I was 150 feet from the water. But I figured sleeping on my boat would do less damage than trying to wade into the dune grass in the pitch dark. He replied that the 150-foot rule applied only to the islands, not to the mainland. He said he was going to give me a break because I was on a boat, but that the other campers were going to get tickets. I thanked him and immediately ratted out the arsonists to the south. He told me he had found their empty cans of starter fluid. We parted on friendly terms. Why do I pump? First morning on the Sleeping Bear National Lakeshore, lazing in the sun and expounding on earning water. I am made of water, sipping from the shores of a freshwater sea, feeling grateful.
It's about 8:30 on Monday morning. I'm probably 2 miles shy of Esh Road, my destination last night. And I probably could have made it had I continued to sail for another hour or so. And I may try to get away with making some food, but I'm going to pump water for sure. They may be wondering, why do I pump? What's that all about? Well, I feel pretty comfortable drinking Lake Michigan water, at least around here, and probably for a good part of my trip, straight. God, it's so beautiful today. It's just amazing. This is certainly one of the premier beauty spots on the planet. And I think it's because I'm here in it right now. And open to it. And it may also have something to do with the fact that it's just lush and lovely. Okay. So the reason why I pump is, it's kind of an important illustration. Of how I've actually got to earn my water. And in life, in the mainstream society, go to your faucet and turn it on, and water comes out. And no one even thinks about that. And they sometimes leave the water running and running and running and running and running, and they have no concept of what it takes to actually provide, to get that water to a place where they can drink it. And there's a whole cycle there that we could talk about. But what's most important is just to realize that water is a blessing, and the practice of pumping it is in itself a way of acknowledging my obligation, acknowledging my gratitude for this amazing substance of which I am composed and is necessary for my continued existence and is surrounding me here. I am sailing on Lake Michigan, a freshwater lake.
I stopped for lunch north of Otter Creek and had a conversation with three new friends, Warren, Tomomi, and Kathleen, about sustainability and desire.
I sense that.
The capitalism is so huge. How are you gonna start? But the reality is you can only change within your context.
Yes,
so
right.
If you care about, let's say, this lake, you care about, yeah, you know, protecting or whatever. But if you don't, like if you think about places in Africa, you do care about it, it's totally out of context, so you're less likely to do something real,
right,
as opposed to where you live right now, which is, you know, Michigan.
Then I launched and headed north towards Empire. Here's the namesake of the entire Sleeping Bear Dunes National Lakeshore. These images hardly do the dunes justice. They're huge and sandy, stopped for the night south of Sleeping Bear Dunes Point. Here's the approach as the sun was setting. The peak at the left of the shot, north, is about 400 feet high. I beached Hello World even farther to the north, where the dunes sloped down to about 50 feet. That boat in the shot was still anchored there the next morning. To north! Manitou, that is. Day 3, south of Sleeping Bear Point, September 8th.
This is where we've been. Way back there, somewhere back there, past the mast, to the right of the mast a little bit, is Frankfurt. We're going to sail there, North Manitou Island.
In the video the next morning, south of Sleeping Bear Point, I pan the camera 180 degrees from left to right, from the distant horizon south and my origin at Alberta Beach, all the way to the distant horizon of my destination, North Manitou Island.
It's a big boat. A big boat. They travel in between these islands and the mainland. So we're going to make a run across and not get crunched by one of those.
Here's a quick bit of background. When Kai was crossing from California to Hawaii on Desire, he was almost run over by a big cruise ship. Desire was too small to register on the cruise ship's radar, or the big boat was on autopilot and there wasn't anybody on the bridge. He frantically tried to radio them and made evasive maneuvers, narrowly avoiding being squashed. Finally, after he was in the clear, the startled crew radioed him. Way too late.
Akami.
That was an excellent salty snack. This is Jupiter from the Planets by Holst. As I approach my sacred island, North Manitou, powered by wind for the very first time. Ecstatic. On the wire. Moving out towards the Manitou Islands from the mainland felt wonderful. These islands have so much resonance for me, and approaching them while in synchromesh with the wind and a sailboat made me giddy. Long tacks to the northeast and northwest were needed, but nothing too dramatic. As we approached, the wind picked up, and I had to get on the wire, for the first time loaded with gear. This is Hobie speak for putting on the harness, so I can hook into the trapeze wire connected to the mast. This allows me to stand on the very edge of the trampoline and project my body out away from the boat in order to counterbalance wind force and keep Hello World from flipping over. On one of the final northwest vectors, I spotted the defunct lighthouse, a familiar sight for campers like Manitou Island Transit Ferry. It sticks up out of nowhere, surrounded by water. If it weren't so late in the day, I would have landed and claimed her for Ladonia. How exquisite to be hanging over the water, skipping into paradise on a sunny day. Day 4, Crescent City, North Manitou Island, September 9th. And the next morning, having breakfast on North Manitou, I reflect on the big trip I've begun. I picked wild cherries to go in my oatmeal, but they had big pits. The That's the sound of me spitting the pits out of wild cherries.
I've really taken on a big trip. 1,000 miles in a sailboat. Maybe I've gone 50. I doubt I've even gone that far. It's a big trip. I'm confident that my boat can do it. I'm confident that I can do it. But I have to admit that there is a temptation right at this moment, even though I'm here on North Manitou, to just forget about it and stop before it's too late. I feel strongly that some of the coolest parts of this trip is the sailing part. I don't have a really good way to document that. I'm quite sore in many places. I think the thing that must be addressed, acknowledged, is that this kind of sailing, it's rigorous. A month of this seems like a lot. I'm not seriously contemplating turning around, but I certainly am thinking in the back of my mind, I'm like, well, wouldn't it be nice if there was some problem that I could have so I could say, oh, well, this problem stopped me from doing it. I wasn't fully prepared. And I hadn't thought it all through. So that's not good either. There really is no way out. And I don't want there to be a way out. It's kind of a revelation to realize that I've got everything on me that I need to sustain life indefinitely. I got this boat. I've got food. I can connect with people along the way for places to stay. I can be in the wilderness a lot. It's not like it's forever. A month. It could get very cold. I realize that. It could be very, very, very intense. Very. Sure hope these are cherries. I mean, I could turn around, I could go home and say, you know what, it's just too much. It's just going to be too fucking much. I don't want to do it. Well, hey, welcome back. When are you going back to New York? Stay here longer. Change anybody's idea about who I am. And people who matter to me, take me as I am. The only person I'm interested in shifting their perception of me, going beyond the constraints of their conception of me, is me. I'm the only person that I can expect to have an influence on. And I want to have a big influence on myself. I'm building myself into the kind of a person who can actually accomplish some serious miracles. Not just about the boat sailing 1,000 miles in a $400 Hobie Cap. It's just for the crowds. Bread and circuses. Everybody knows it. No, I'm not trying to hide that. But you go beyond that. You go a little deeper. And what you find is what's going to happen to this guy. What's going to happen to this guy is he spends a lot of time laying in dinosaur grass, being very still, and emptying out his mind of little songs like, come on, baby, make it hurt so good. Sometimes love don't feel like it should. You make it hurt so good. Yeah, a lot of little song fragments playing in my head. Probably have to get rights to that from ASCAP. And John Mellencamp. What's going to happen to me being in the wilderness? This place that I have so much love for. And yet, I'm scared of it, as I'm sure most people are scared of it, because here, I'm not somebody else. I'm not some caricature of myself. I'm just me. I can feel it. I almost feel like sobbing, because I can be whatever it is that I am. There's nobody to watch me, and when I'm back in the world of consumption. Yes, I know I've brought consumption here, but just bear with me. I've forgotten what I was going to say. Can anybody remember what I was going to say and tell me? Hang on, I need someone to call me up from the future and remind me what I was saying. All the energies of this billion-year-old being. Billion, 6 billion? Something like that. God knows exactly. And back in human society as it's currently incarnated, everything we have is new. As a matter of fact, there's sort of like this cult of newness. Everything has to be brand new, just made, virgin, young.
because if it's old, that means it's raggedy and wrinkly and nasty, smelly, forgetful, muttering bah, 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 going on and on and on about boring stuff, pedantic, set in their ways. Old sucks. You know, in the society of consumption, in the world of consumption, old is, it's the worst. Because you can't consume. You can't constantly need to consume if you're satisfied with the old. So we got to get rid of the old. We gotta discard it and just be disgusted by it. We have to feel reversion for the old. And that means that we're really kind of lost. We have no roots. We have no history. We have no traditions. We have no wisdom. And we are especially disconnected to our oldest ally, our benefactor, our foundation, the planet Earth, the global life support system. We don't even see it. 6 billion years or so. We don't even know it exists. We don't even know it's out there. It's invisible. Life support system, whatever. So, I, on the other hand, I'm going to be in it. I've put myself into it after dreaming amongst my things. Or I've been dreaming this wilderness and being in it. And now here I am. For a month or as long as it takes, or less if there's a terrible accident. With the silence. And the voice of the ancients. The voices of the ancients. I would become poetry incarnate. Poetry incarnate.
I had planned to spend 3 to 5 days soaking up the North Manitou vibe, but a few problems had popped up.
Hi. This is my office for today. 999. I'm down on the beach because there's no sun up where I'm camping and I need to charge my batteries. There's my little charging system right there. And it's hooked up to up there. You can see a solar panel. I'm getting the weather. Various things in here, computer and stuff, and I'm going to pull out and do some computing and calculating and planning and organizing of this project because, boy, it's a lot of things to do. You know, I left my computer power supply at the house after bringing bags and bags of cables and wires and chargers and this and that. That's the one thing I didn't bring. And so now I can't edit. So, I may even be running out of memory, because if I can't take these videos off this camera and put them on the computer or to a hard drive, then I'm as good as finished as far as recording. Alberta to Ash Road to Sleeping Bear Point, and Sleeping Bear Point to here, Crescent City, That was about 25 miles as the crow flies. Certainly it was more because I had to tack. It probably would have been more like 40 miles. Maybe. So tomorrow, but let's just say 25 miles straight shot. And tomorrow, I've decided I'm going to leave North Manitou because A, I don't have enough fuel. B, I don't have the charger for my laptop. And I need to put video on the web. That's crucial. That's part of my commitment. This project is about frequent updates. So I'm going to go tomorrow. I'm going to leave. And I'm going to sail to the close to Cathead Point, which is the entrance to Grand Traverse Bay. That's 25 miles. That's as many miles as the 3 days that I've traveled. So if I were to say that I'll do a quick calculation though. 17 hours. So 17 hours to travel the first 3 days. 17 hours of sailing to travel the first 3 days. So that means tomorrow I may have to travel 17 hours to get 25 miles. Now, the reason that this is not actually, in theory, what I'm going to have to travel is that on all these trips, I was going north, into a north wind, tacking back and forth. So the north wind is going like this, coming down from the north, down. Then the sailboat has to go like this, zigzag. So what I'm trying to do tomorrow, 84 degrees, a little bit north of east, tiny bit north of east, 84 degrees on the compass. And so that should be, if I've got a north wind, like I've had the past few days, then I should be able to get across with a nice one. Basically, I'm going to try and cross one shot. No tacking. If it's coming from the west, it'll just blow me back. If it's coming from the north, it will be perfecto. South would be good. And if it's coming from the west, I said that west is coming. If it's coming from the west, it blows me back. And if it's coming from the east, then I got to tack, which would be bad. Bad. So let's see if we're going to get a north wind tomorrow, and we'll make our crossing back from the island to the mainland. So that means now, and since this is my plan, I've got to basically start packing right now and get organized and get my shit together. And so I'm continuing to charge, and that's good. But I'm going to go over the boat and I'm going to check a few things out and make sure everything's happy. And I'm going to actually get stuff packed. Yes, indeed. And maybe make some food, so I can take it with me and have food ready on the boat for the crossing, so I don't have to be wondering what I'm going to eat. I'll use the last bit of my fuel to cook up the rice and beans, and I'll go now and I'll eat the buckwheat with some garlic and jalapeno, and I'll make the rest of what I got into a stew that will go in the rice and beans, and I can have that for today, tomorrow, and the next day when I get to Grand Traverse Bay. Now, here's the crazy thing. I know this is just a video, okay? And I don't have to put this in the video. I don't have to include this part. But if it's 25 miles to get to Cathead Point, and then down into Grand Traverse Bay is like another 25 miles, that's 50 miles. Possible to do that all in one day, 50 miles? Probably not. But we'll see where we are. So we have to leave really early tomorrow. Even if there's no wind, we just got to leave and find the wind and create the wind.
Day 5, from North Manitou to Northport.
Yeah, so here we go. I'm going to start packing. It's a 25-mile sail today to get back to Traverse City, or at least the tip of Traverse City, the Traverse City Lighthouse or Cathead Point. pardon me. And from here, North Manitou, to there is a 25-mile sail, which for me will be a personal record. It will also be a record for this trip so far, as 25 miles is the same amount of distance that we've traveled the entire trip. So another 25 miles today in one day, and the entire trip has been 3 days of sailing. So in one day, we'll sail the same amount that we've sailed in 3 days. So we've got a lot of work to do here. Got to get packed up. I did some pre-packing last night, but now I'm going to assemble the last few things and throw them all in the wet in the dry bags, and we're going to launch.
Golden apples of the sun from North Manitou Island. I'm heading north now. North. I'm going to curve around the island. And then with this south wind that's pushing us right now. The south wind. Whoa. With this south wind, we will, with luck, streak across Lake Michigan. A little tough to sail in camera eyes here. We'll sail across Lake Michigan. A lickety split. 0.3 miles. I'm ready. Glorious day. Beautiful. Look at these blowouts. So it's very lazy and gentle right now. But as soon as we're coming up to the north, this may be the north end of the island, it's certainly the start of the north of the island. North tip of North Manitou. This is where it begins. And so once we round this, the wind will be coming from the south and we'll be going at basically a right angle to it, so we'll be hauling ass. In theory, which is why I'm all geared up here with my wetsuit and my harness. That's what this is right here, so I can get in the wire. And yeah, I'm having a really gentle, pleasant moment right now, and everything changes. I think it'll still be pleasant, but it won't be gentle. It'll be intense. Which is what I need if I want to get across from the island to the mainland. I need a good, steady, solid wind to help me. But for the start, it's just gentle and sweet. And just nothing could be more idyllic. Thank you. There we go. Idyllic and just Tao. Here it is, the Tao embodied. I'm just flowing with the wind. Of course, basically sailing is all about the Tao. Whatever wind does, you flow with it. Being close in here, there's probably some weird turbulence as the wind hits the island and bounces off it and rolls around. But we're just really enjoying being so close to the island, we and me and Hello World. This beautiful island. The goddess, lover, sister, mother. The land that we see, that's wilderness. And this lake is wilderness. Water as wilderness. This is very calm here. I better turn out a little bit more north because the wind is shadowed by the island right now. So we're at the north. We're on the north tip. Let's take a look at the compass. The compass says, yep, this is north. That's north. So this is the north tip of the island. We're just basically hardly even moving right now. I keep thinking we're going to have some significant wind. Some harness-type wind.
Rounded the north end of the island too close to shore and got caught in dead air. Likely a wind shadow.
Hey, we're out of the shadow now. Boat's really picking up speed. Now it's time to turn and make our move.
Earlier today, we were thinking that there was going to be some big wind, but it looks like all my wind is gone. I see those rocks going by. So we are actually slowly moving into shore. At this point, it might be worthwhile for me just to get the heck out and
push. But, you know, there's really no rush. I'm here for another day. I like this rocky little place. I'm going to look around for big rocks. There's a big rock over there. That's our destination. And wait, are we actually still moving or not? Uh-oh, no, it looks like we're actually not moving right now. You didn't want me to leave, did you? You wanted more time with me. Oh, I don't blame you. I wanted more time with you, too. But it seems like the exigencies of the situation required me to go. But I guess I was mistaken in that thought. And that's fine. I like being here. Getting into the groove of this here project. Go or no, always flow. Ah. Another exciting chapter around Lake Michigan. Stand by. We're leveling the ship. I better put up these little things because they're not going to take us much farther unless we pop them up. Got to get over there. Damn it. Almost too late. Oh, I can hear it. Come on, baby. Come on. Yes. Ah, yes. I believe we've arrived.
Stuck there for hours. By 2 o'clock, I decided it was fate. I had to stay another day. I anchored and took a swim. Popping out the weather radio, I heard all about the steady 6-knot wind running either north or southwest on northern Lake Michigan. NOAA reports are a little confusing. Maybe it was southwest turning to north in the afternoon. I raised anchor and pushed Hello World to the east coast of the island to grab the wind. It was, in fact, from the northeast. So aloha, my lover, sister, mother, North Manitou. 23 miles to landfall in Cathead Point or Grand Traverse Bay. My ideal course heading is approximately 84 degrees, or just slightly north of due east, 90 degrees. I am able to hold 110 or 130 degrees, so I'll be hitting land to the south of my goal, Northport with luck, but likely Leland. I trust whoever that beach belongs to will be down with me camping there. 2017. I want to remind you of the story of Kai and the cruise ship now. I've used Saturn, the bringer of old age, from Holst the Planets in this snippet. Digital Zoom saved my life. After all of Kai's stories about crossing the Pacific in desire and almost being run over by robot-controlled cruise ships, I finally got a taste. Having caught a lovely wind after leaving North Manitou Island, I was making delightful progress, east-ish, towards Northport. The sun was shining, and all was right with the world. Except for that low throbbing. Must be a freighter around somewhere. Far to the north, I could see a motorboat or maybe a sailboat cruising. But then something clicked. Low throbbing of big engines, only one boat in sight. What is that boat? I wondered how I might get a magnified view, and then I remembered the Vixia's digital zoom. I had stumbled upon it while playfully spying on my neighbors at Crescent City, thinking they might get naked and go swimming. I grabbed the Vixia, activated the digital zoom, and pointed it at my new neighbor. There, glowing in the afternoon sun, was the giant bow of a freighter. I couldn't see the port or starboard side of the ship, just this massive, gleaming bow that appeared to be several stories high. Thinking to myself, if all I can see is the front of the ship and I can't see either side at all, that means it's heading right at me. Now, this ship is still pretty far away, but it's got these throbbing monster motors, and I'm maintaining a course close to the wind, not moving very fast. I dropped off my course and put on some speed in an attempt to get past this behemoth. She came on pretty quick, growing in size at a surprising rate. We'll be right back. Eventually, I began to see a sliver of her port side, which meant I was out of her path. These big boats are supposed to generate an impressive wake, so I kept my speed up. When she finally passed, she wasn't quite so big, just 600 feet. I identified her later as the Manitowoc, an ore carrier. Pictures from my camera are a little misleading. The first shot illustrates how close she was when she passed, and the second shows our wake crossing her course. This is how close she actually was. Notice our tire tracks crossing her course. Yikes. Check out the big water she is making in front and behind. Now, this wasn't exactly a near miss, right? In my humble opinion, anything closer would have been a near disaster. I had no indication that human beings were running the show. As she passed, I honked my horn at her and waved, without response. Maybe they were just unfriendly or were too busy to acknowledge me. Worst case scenario, the crew was playing cards down in the galley and had the whole thing on autopilot. I might have been too small to set off a proximity alarm. What are the odds of two boats coming even this close in the middle of the big lake? I think Kai would have called it a near miss. Fun! Northport. It was late in the day when we approached Northport's clay cliffs, reminiscent of crumbling citadels. Several spots looked agreeable and unpopulated from the water, but I decided to chase down a couple walking north along the beach and get the skinny. We had to tack repeatedly to catch up to them. "Okay to camp here?" I shouted, after a brief introduction. "Sure, there's nice sand down that way," the fellow replied, pointing south. Hello World and I spun around and found a lovely little roost just before sunset. Some images are beyond documentation. A tent glowing with a single candle under a star-scattered sky. Good night from Northport, Michigan. Grand Traverse Bay, posted on September 11, 2009, by Dan Kelly from ondesire.com. Stuck this morning from 10 a.m. until 2 p.m. When will I learn to turn on the radio?
Big old rocks down there.
Poised to enter Grand Traverse Bay after an excellent night under the clay cliffs of Northport's Big Lake shores.
Paddling. And I'll bet the people look out at me and say, "What is he doing out there in that sailboat? There's no wind." And it'll give them something to talk about over their croissant and coffee. "Honey, what do you think he's doing out there? Does he know what he's doing? Maybe he's sailing around Lake Michigan."
I packed and launched. Never mind that there was hardly a puff of wind. I had a schedule to keep.
"But I wouldn't give for an underwater camera. It's so beautiful. See the boat shadow and the green, deep green
to a cerulean blue. Okay, that was perfect.
Brought my core temperature down by about 20 degrees. I should be in Traverse City next week sometime at this rate. And that's fine. I could just fast on water for a week. I could feast on these colors."
Kicking back on the trampoline, I lollygagged, loafed, and waited for the wind to stir.
This was just the right sort of start for the day. Just have a little time together and bliss out.
I tuned into the NOAA report and heard that there were east winds of 6 knots at Traverse Light, just a couple miles north of my dead calm position. So where was my wind? I began to paddle out of the land shadow.
"So I launched today at around 10 o'clock, and you remember me hanging out there and being all sort of mellow by Northport. Well, I didn't actually get any wind. I didn't get out to where the wind was till 2 o'clock. And now it's about 2:30, and I'm heading for the Grand Traverse Lighthouse. So anyway, I was just sitting in land shadow all morning doing nothing. Well, I mean, I had a nice swim, and I got to talk to you, and I just was at peace with myself. And that's always good. I got a kind of an annoying text message from Jeff. Do you really think you're going to be here today? Whatever. So, it's like, you know, maybe if I get some wind. I want to cultivate the appropriate attitude to being out here. This is amazing out here. It's so beautiful. Look at those dunes over there. It's very duny and wild looking over there. There's a house right there on that point, just all by itself. I'm out in the middle of a wonder. I'm surrounded by beauty, and there's no rush to do anything, because you can't be someplace at 2 o'clock that's 10 miles away and guarantee you'll be there. You might be there at 1 o'clock. You might be there the next day or never. There's just no point in making dates and setting times. And so you have to stop thinking about time. Check our telltales. And being in no time, being in empty space. God, does anything sound better than that? No. This is the perfect project. Not only do I get to find out about the sustainable civilization, I get to look for it, and perhaps even find it, but I also get to develop these really important facets of myself in the process of being empty and being in no time. Wind! Oh! That's so funny. I was reminded of what I said earlier. I was sitting here looking at that little point going,
God, I wish we'd get closer. I was taking so long.
And I'm like, what the hell am I thinking? And I turned and I looked at the sparkles on the water. And I looked at those sparkles and I said, you know, I said, what the heck? Just waiting in the water. How lovely. Hiya! Oh, it's a little shallow here. Hi, how you doing? Pardon me, I'm new around here. Now that's something a normal sailboat couldn't do, let me tell ya.
And we bid farewell to the beautiful...
Oh no! Gah. There's a lot of little shoals out here. Easy does it. Last thing I want to do is hit this hard. I'm going to be very careful. It's going to be shallow again. So what we'll do is we'll turn up into it very gently so the boat slows down. Slow down, boat. Then we'll kind of cut across it.
Riding a northeast wind past Cathead Point, I passed Traverse Light and turned south. The rest of the afternoon and the better part of the evening was spent running with the wind, surfing.
South by southwesterly course. Wind seems to be picking up. This reminds me of the river trip I took with my brother and sister on the San Juan River. God, how idyllic. We just sort of floated down this river. And then at the end of every day, we stopped in camp. With this boat, I'm making a river. I'm following the wind river. The wind allows me to create a river in whatever direction I like to go, nearly. And I like that. I like the way that sounds. Notice I'm actually steering with my foot. My leg, actually, my leg wrapped around the tiller. And that's one of the great things about this boat is it's a multi-appendage boat. And I'm seeing some definite wind sign, like the wind is picking up.
I fired an update to Jeff, predicting a landing at 8 p.m. Then, at 7 p.m., moved my ETA to 9 p.m. My actual arrival turned out to be 10 p.m. Approaching Traverse City took forever. At sunset, I still couldn't see any landmarks, buildings, even lights, just low hills funneling into haze. All the while surfing like crazy, bobsledding down trenches and half pipes of water. Finally, lights appeared. But to my old flat-screen eyes, they were just sodium-colored starbursts and patterns that may or may not have suggested familiar features. The starbursts resolved slowly with much tacking to and fro, standing rigging clanging in the now fitful wind. To anyone watching us from shore, Hello World and I must have seemed a dark specter slightly out of control in the blustery twilight. Using the giant candy cane slash fake lighthouse slash massive power tower near where I believe to be 2nd Street, I landed tentatively just west of West End Beach and walked Hello World to where I saw some other boats anchored. I perched her on the beach and ran in to check the proximity of the volleyball courts. I had hit it pretty nearly. I called Jeff and asked for him to come for me in 30 minutes while I offloaded and set an anchor. Took me more like 45 minutes, but Jeff was a sport about it all, even though I had my wires crossed as to where I would meet him. We finally found each other and went back to his place for an epic bowl of pasta and sauce. From 10 a.m. to 10 p.m., a trip and personal record of 33.95 miles. You've been listening to the Daughter of Godcast, episode 023, Wilds. This has been a zoom in on the beginning of the Around Lake Michigan 2009 expedition, my meditation on desire. Next week, we'll depart familiar waters and sail into clarity. Thanks for listening or watching or both, whatever is floating your boat. The next morning, I borrowed his bike to check out the boat and scarf a breakfast burrito from the local organic food joint, just across the street from West End Beach. The starbursts resolved slowly with much tacking to and fro, standing rigging clanging in the now fitful wind. Day 6, Northport to Traverse City, 9/11.